Those days came John the Baptist preaching the wilderness Judea and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, and make his paths straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair, and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. I want you to notice that word all. Amen. All were baptized. And when they saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said to them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father, for I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Now the axe is laid into the root of the trees, therefore every tree that bringeth forth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. Who did he baptize with water? All that came to him. Amen. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear, and he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Thank God for the fire. I'm glad he said that. Amen. There are many extremes today in this doctrine of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Don't be affected by the extremes. Don't cop out. Keep the real thing. Hallelujah. If you're looking for an excuse, you can find one. If you're looking for an excuse to be offended and stumble, you can find one. Amen. Hey, praise God. I know about those extremes. I know about the easy believism where people confess Christ and don't change. On the other hand, I know people, it's clear over on the other end of the spectrum, that claim to be filled with the Holy Ghost, speak in other tongues, even talk about miracles, and don't change. Amen. That's extremes, isn't it? Those are extremes. Amen. But I'm talking about the real baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire. Is it for everybody? Amen. Well, I have a background in my part of the country down in Arkansas. There's a lot of Church of Christ folks. Bless them. Amen. A lot of my family is Church of Christ. That is a Church of Christ background. Truth is, there wasn't nothing, but if there had been anything, there'd have been Church of Christ, and that wasn't too much. Amen. Anyhow, it wasn't uncommon to hear over the radio every day. It wasn't uncommon to hear in everyday conversation when it come down to teaching about the baptism of the Holy Spirit that it was just for the apostles. Was it just for the apostles? Was it just for the apostles and those upon whom the apostles laid their hands? Amen. That's what they teach. That the baptismal fullness of the Holy Ghost was just for the apostles and died away after the death of the apostles. Well, that's an untruth in itself, because history says one of the fathers wrote in no uncertain terms that miracles did not cease with the death of the apostles, but rather increased with the spread of the church. And in many cases, after fasting and prayer, they raised the dead. Amen. And so the fathers bear out the fact that it did not cease with the death of the apostles, but rather increased with the spread of the church. Amen. Well, does everybody receive the Holy Ghost when they first get saved? yes and no. If by the Holy Ghost you say the baptism, fullness of the Holy Spirit, no. But everybody that's born again is born of the Spirit. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12 says, by one Spirit we're all baptized into one body. Amen. And that's been the case. Jesus told Nicodemus, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he can't see the kingdom of God. Well, there were a lot of people born of water under Jesus' ministry, and also born of the Spirit under Jesus' ministry. We cannot say that the converts of Christ were not born again. We cannot say that the apostles were not born again. Amen. We cannot say that John the Baptist's converts were not born again. Amen. In fact, men have been born again down through the ages. They were born again in the Old Testament too. The New Testament bears that out. Amen. They were all baptized unto Moses and under the cloud. Amen. But with many of them, God was not well pleased. Amen. And so, we ask today, amen, is the Holy Ghost for everybody as we teach it? Amen. Jesus said in Acts chapter 1, it is not for you to know the times and seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive the power of the Holy Ghost. Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Amen. John had promised that everybody that was converted by him and fully followed his teaching, that they too would receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost through Jesus' ministry. He said, I'm not worthy to untie his shoes. I just baptize you with water unto repentance, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Now we settle one thing. If everybody needs salvation, and they did, and everybody believed John's preaching was baptized, and they were, well, did John promise his converts a future spiritual boon in the ministry of Christ? Christ's first apostles were John's disciples. Amen. Peter, James, John, others, amen, were disciples of John the Baptist first. Amen. Now then, let's read in Acts chapter 2. And let's read the 38th verse. Then Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ for remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Well, repent and be baptized, every one of you. And now every one of you have the grand and wondrous privilege of receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. You see, the Holy Ghost is just as universal as salvation is. The promise is just as universal as salvation is. Hey, amen. Acts chapter 10. They had that revival down at Cornelius' house, remember? Yeah, you remember. Peter had that vision, you know. Amen. Rise, Peter, kill and eat. And he said, I've not eaten anything common or unclean my whole life. And God said, don't call common or unclean the things I've cleansed. And so Peter went down to Cornelius' house and began to preach how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. Now look out. Look out now. Hallelujah. These new converts are going to get the same thing that Jesus had, the same anointing. Read. Healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we're witnesses how God raised him up the third day and showed him openly and so forth and so on. And Peter was yet speaking, verse 44, and the Holy Ghost fell on them which heard the word. Ooh-wee. Amen. I mean, they was ready. And things were going to happen fast at Cornelius' house. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished. It looks to me like Peter had some witnesses with him. Yes, some Jews with him. Because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. How did they know? How did they know? Well, they told me themselves that the Bible said, you know, if you believe, you'd receive the Holy Ghost. So therefore, I've got it. Well, what evidence is there when people say, therefore, I've got it? In other words, anybody can name it and claim it. Amen. But don't stop there. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? Now, he's in the same frame that John the Baptist was. John said, everybody that believes and is baptized, you're going to be able to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost when Jesus comes along. And he equates the universality of the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the universality of baptism in water. Amen. How many know when you go down into the water? I mean, even up here in the baptistry, that water's so cold sometimes that people, you know, they say, whoo! When they step off in it. Amen. Because it's colder than the outside air. Amen. And you can tell when you're in the water, can't you? Amen. How many of you usually know when you're wading deep water, huh? You usually know, don't you? How you know? Amen. Yeah, you can tell. Even if you're dry clean like the Methodists are, sprinkled a little bit. Amen. One fellow, my friend Harold Jones, down at Barberville, Kentucky, my insurance man, was a Methodist Sunday school teacher. And he said, why? He said, John didn't have time to baptize all them people by immersion. Said he just got him a bucket of water and ran through that crowd sprinkling on them all. No, he baptizoed them. And that means to immerse in water. Praise God. He immersed them. Amen. Can any man forbid water? Peter just got it the way the Lord gave it to him. Said, since they received the Holy Ghost as well as we, and they knew they received the Holy Ghost because there was a difference. They even knew they'd repented because there was a difference. Amen. You could tell that Cornelius was of a repentant heart because his religion had already got down his pocketbook. Amen. There's a lot of so-called holiness folks. Their religion never got in their back pocket yet. They got one dry spot. Amen. They're a tight wad when it comes to giving to God. Amen. Hey, Hallelujah. But Cornelius was a repentant man of a right spirit, and he gave alms and prayed to God continually. In a day when a Gentile didn't have, pardon me if there's any Chinaman here, a Chinaman's chance. Amen. Hallelujah. And he just piled his alms and his prayers up on the outside until they, praise God, had a landslide one day and they came over the wall. And God said, your prayers and your alms have come up for memorial unto God. It was that kind of a man that God chose to initiate into the Gentile era of the church. Praise God. He opened the door in Cornelius' house. Notice the difference. Praise God. They received the Holy Ghost as well as we. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Hallelujah. That's the fruits. Some of the fruits, if you will, of the Holy Ghost. Amen? If you really get the Holy Ghost, it'll make a difference in your life. You notice it says, Holy Ghost? Amen. Holy? Holy Ghost? When He baptizes your life, now, it's one thing for you to be in the river, and it's another thing for the river to be in you and you still be in the river. Amen. And that's real baptism. When your baptism in the Holy Ghost takes on the dimension that you are so full that you're running over and speaking a heavenly tongue and living a, quote, clean, end quote, life. Huh? Praise God. Romans chapter 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be apostle and separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his Son Jesus our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness. The Holy Ghost is a spirit of holiness. If the Holy Ghost takes over in your life, you'll be characterized by the spirit that dominates. If you're dominated by a spirit of darkness, you'll be characterized by darkness. If you're dominated by the spirit of the world, you'll be characterized by worldliness. If you're dominated by a spirit of hatred, you'll be characterized by hatred. If you're dominated by an unforgiving spirit, you'll be characterized by not forgiving. But if you're dominated by the spirit of holiness, you'll be characterized by holiness. That's how you can tell the difference. Amen. At least one way. There's not any one way alone. Amen. But you take all the evidences together. Amen. Does he live holy? Amen. Does he tell the truth? Is his word any good? Hallelujah. Amen. Well, you can tell a character, can't you? Amen. Amen. The Holy Ghost is a spirit of holiness, and this is a serious thing, by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we receive grace. Grace is one of those earmarks of the Holy Spirit, praise God. Amen. And apostleship, that's his calling, his particular office in the body of Christ. Amen. And for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. And so, when you get the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you will receive a spirit of holiness. My opinion is, that you'll do a lot about this holiness before you ever get the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I said, God, I'll give up everything you want me to give up. Lord, I'll leave everything behind you want me to leave behind. Lord, I'll say everything you want me to say. Lord, I'll go where you want me to go. Lord, I'll not go where you don't want me to go. That's the spirit of holiness, if you will. And so you're going to do something about this holiness thing before you ever get the baptism of the Holy Spirit. There's a lot of spirits that folks are being baptized with. Some are quite spurious. Amen. Some are perhaps premature. Amen. And some just got a drink out of somebody else's well. That's all right if they got a clean well, but you can't go to heaven on drinking out of somebody else's well all your life. The Bible said there'll be a fountain of living waters, a river of living waters, springing up in you, in so many words, unto everlasting life. Jesus said, he that believeth on me, is believing necessary for everybody? Believing is necessary for everybody to be saved, isn't it? I'm talking about, again, the universality of the Holy Ghost, the promise. Amen. Is the promise to us? Amen. Hallelujah. Well, yes, just as believing is for all of us. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, how else do you believe and believe right except what you believe what the Bible says? These grand, wondrous truths are so obvious, they're as plain as the nose on your face. Amen. There are plenty of people that teach that, we may not be anything, we may not look like much, and we may not act like much, and we sin a little every day, but nevertheless, our position is that we are saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost all the way. Amen. Positionally, they claim all that God's ever promised, but conditionally and evidentially, they don't have much. Amen. We know that believing is for everybody. But he said, if he that believeth on me, like the Bible says, as the scripture said, out of his belly, that's the innermost being, the seat of the heart and the consciousness, and the and there's a difference in heart believing and head believing, incidentally. Amen. And the heart that the Bible speaks of is not your mind simply and only, but it is an entity of itself. Amen. It may be affected by your mind, and it may affect your mind. But a man believeth in his heart, and his affections are in his heart. He who believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his seat of affections, his heart, his inner being, shall flow rivers of living water. The next verse says, thus spake he of the Spirit, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given. It's God's will that we go on with God to spiritual fullness. Praise God. You say, Brother Collins, are you teaching that we got to have the baptism of the Holy Ghost to be saved? No. But I'm teaching if you're saved, you'll like the idea of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. If the Spirit's ruling, hey, amen, you want more of it. You mean, amen. They was playing a little game, you know, about what do you think your husband was thinking, your fiance or your future husband was thinking when he kissed you the first time. I told one of those ladies, I know what yours was thinking when he kissed you the first time. She said, what? I said, he was thinking of the next one. Amen. And the next, and the next, and the next. How about that, Mark? Amen. And, hey, anybody that's tasted that the Lord is gracious, I know what he wants. He wants more. More of you, Lord. More of Jesus. Praise God. More of God. Amen. Man, one banana wasn't enough when I was a kid. I felt like if you'd give me a whole stalk and just leave me alone with a stalk of bananas, I'd eat them all. And I could have too if you just gave me a little time. I love bananas that well. Amen. But one day I ate some banana pudding. It had been sitting around somewhere too long or passed through the wrong thing. And I got sick on banana pudding, Brother Croucher. And for 7 years, I couldn't stand anything that was even flavored with banana. Because I got sick on banana pudding. Did you ever say, hey, I got over that. You know how I did? I used my noodle. And I decided, hey, them bananas are still good. Just because I got sick on banana pudding, that didn't change bananas. And you know what? After about 7 years, I started eating bananas again. And I'm still enjoying bananas. There's a lot of folks that's getting sick on these things that I'm talking about today, namely the fullness of the Spirit and the manifestations of the Spirit. Because they've seen so much sour banana pudding. Huh? I mean, they don't like speaking in tongues. There's some holiness churches. You don't dare get up and prophesy no matter how much the power of God's on you. They'll look at you with a question mark. Yeah, I've had them do it. Amen. Message in tongues, interpretation is a strange thing in some holiness churches. And you'd be surprised how many and where. Huh? You really would. You'd be surprised with some of the pastors that's pastoring those churches that almost never have a message in tongues interpreted. What happened? They got sick on sour banana pudding. It's not that there's anything wrong with bananas, but somebody adulterated it with some impurity. Amen. And they got a bacteria, a salmonella or something or other from another source. It didn't come from the bananas. Amen. It came from another source. Hey, amen. That water in that well was good to start with. Amen. And those wiggletails and possums and jackrabbits, amen, they got in that well from another source. Amen. Hey, clean out that well and give it some time and it'll purify itself. About 25 years ago, the lagoon, that's the sewage system in West Plains, Missouri. That's where they run all the sewage in a big lake they call a lagoon. And that's the way they purified the sewage in West Plains, Missouri. And a lot of cities have that method yet today. They pump all the sewage into a lagoon and let nature take care of itself. Amen. And that lake is off limits, of course. Well, in those mountains of Ozarks, there's a lot of underground subterranean caves and tunnels and underground rivers even. Mammoth Spring is an underground river that runs out of the ground. I mean right on the Arkansas-Missouri line, 36 million gallons an hour. Amen. Ice cold. Amen. And the lagoon in West Plains, Missouri, the subterranean area was porous and weak underneath, and that lagoon caved in, and that whole lake disappeared underground. Nobody thought too much about it until people in three counties start getting sick. Did you know what? They tested the water in Fulton County, Arkansas, Sharp County, Arkansas, and Oregon County, Missouri. Amen. In Howell County, Missouri. And they found out that that lagoon had polluted the subterranean water supply, the main veins underground that supplied people's wells. My dad, 30 miles away down south of the border in Arkansas, couldn't drink water out of his own well without boiling it for a good while, because the lagoon in West Plains, Missouri, had polluted the subterranean water supply. And that's what's happened in the world today. The devil knew just how to do it. Amen. He got everybody hooked up to their well, dependable, wonderful, old wells that had never failed, that people draw water out of for years and years. Amen. They went away down deep so they could get plenty. My dad got plenty of water at 70 feet for real wet weather, but not enough for a dry year. So they went down to 90 feet. When they went down to 90 feet, they struck another vein, and water came up within 20 feet of the top of the ground. Amen. Almost run out. He had plenty of water in his well. Amen. Well, my dad's well was so deep and so dependable, yet that lagoon had polluted the underground supply. Dad had to boil his water. But they found out something. That all the local springs were still pure. All the local springs that were fed by their local watershed were still pure. All the springs up Big Creek that flowed out, gushed out, and kept old Big Creek running good, right down below the house, cold and clear. You could still go to the spring and get an unpolluted drink of water. Amen. We've seen a lot of pollution, especially in some of the big and deep wells of this world. Some of the big old lion churches. Amen. We've seen pollution come in that has threatened to destroy the spiritual supply and pollute the church the world over. And what in the world are we going to do? God's got the answer. I want to tell you something, folks. There's still a reality in a whole lot of local churches. Amen. That get their supply straight from heaven, real regular. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. I mean, the rains come down and the water table comes up and the springs gush out. And even new ones sometimes come gushing out of the road ditch even. We call them wet weather springs. Amen. They wasn't quite as good as those old springs that left their mark. And Big Creek School spring down there, to build a concrete enclosure around it. Steps to go up in, steps to walk on down. And the kids could put their milk in the spring. And whatever they had to drink in the spring. Get it cold for lunch. And so about every kid, if they had cows that fortunate, they could put their milk in the spring. Those good old local springs, they stay pure. Amen. There's a lot of big things today that have been polluted, but I'll tell you something. With time, my dad's well cleared up. And they took measures up in Missouri and some other cities guaranteeing that it wouldn't happen again, that particular lay of land, that no other lagoon would poison the subterranean water supply, and those main veins that flowed from one end of the country to the other in that part of the country to supply people's wells. Amen. In time, nature and God cleared up my dad's well. And in time, amen, if time goes on, God is able to bring about purity to folks that read the Bible. Can you say amen? Amen. But I said all that to say this. Amen. They have put a bad light on this power of the Holy Ghost. Oh, of course, they don't put no bad light on easy believism because they don't expect nothing out of them anyway. You don't change nohow. Amen. They just put a bad light on those who claim to live holy and separated from the world. That's another earmark of the true baptism of the Holy Ghost. Before you ever get it, you got to be separated from the world. If you love the world, you can't have it. Yeah, well, you say, I know some folks that got it in youth camp and they never did give up the world. They won't keep it neither. Amen. It may be that through the influence of many in a camp meeting or a youth camp, and cause God's moving and you're in the right atmosphere, amen, that you can get a wondrous experience with God and go right back home and gorge yourself on the world. Amen. We cast the demons out of Connie Lawson down in Barberville Youth Camp, Jim's cousin. Amen. Well, she went back to the world when she came home because she had a date with this unsaved boy right up here at the Swordsville Lake, now Americana. We said, don't go. She went anyway. By Sunday, she was demon-possessed again, even though we'd cast them out of her. She was distraught and troubled, and she came to church, and we cast the devils out of Connie again. Amen. Then Connie began to presume on God, and she would take that new liberty that she found to indulge in the pleasures of sin for a season. And now here she is in a few weeks back in church, demon possessed again. Well, every time we cast the demons out of her, we'd have to hold her because the devil would get charged every she'd run. And so the third time she ran for the door, and I caught her back at the church door at Full Gospel Tabernacle up here and started to bring her back to the altar because I knew the devil was in charge and it wasn't Connie. And the Lord stopped me and said, let her alone. He said, she just uses her freedom and liberty from the demons to go out into the world and sin. She's got to learn her lesson just like Nebuchadnezzar did. And that's what the Lord told me, Mike. And we left her alone. It took years for Connie and a divorce or two and the dregs of sin. And finally, Connie made up her mind to kick the devil out of her life herself. And she's now a member of the Abundant Life Tabernacle in Germantown, Ohio, living for God. You got to make up your mind to kick the world out, the flesh and the devil out. Amen. And if you kick out the unholy spirit, you can have the Holy Spirit. You can have the power of God. It's for everybody. The power of God is still for God's people today. And praise God, there's still a whole bunch of good local churches in good local fellowships that's got that cold, clear, life-giving spring of living waters flowing out. Amen. It's as universal in promise as salvation. And those that seek Him, He said, if your fathers know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit? That's the same word in the Greek. Amen. Pneuma. Give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him. If you want it, You can have it. A fellow in old Robert's tent meeting in Memphis, Tennessee, when I was seeking the Holy Ghost at every mourner's bench. He had at least one mourner on a mourner's bench, and that was me. I didn't get into old Robert's tent in 1950 in the summer. Amen. I waited till winter time and the fire had gone out in the old country church. But a man with a big smile on his face said, "It's sure for you." Hallelujah. And folks, the baptismal fullness of the Holy Ghost is sure for you. Amen. And there's a Holy Ghost baptism for everyone that'll seek Him this morning. Raise your hands and praise Him that the promise is to you, to your children, as many as are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Amen. Hallelujah. Church of Christ man that run the confectionery in Mammoth Springs, I was witnessing to him. I didn't know who he was from Adam. I didn't know he even went to church. He said, I quote that scripture to him, "Even as many as the Lord our God shall call." He said, "How you know you've been called?" I told him, "God calls everybody. He said to you, whosoever will, didn't he? Let him come." Amen. We got that call, didn't we? Hallelujah. Let's take the other step and go on with God into a deeper walk with God. If the Spirit and the power and anointing is leaked out in any measure, you can have a refilling this morning. God bless you as they sing, and we take a home mission offering for Brother Corn. Be a blessing to Brother Corn right now. Amen.